Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to yet another episode, another conversation. I think it's a word that I prefer in the Bible, specifically in the book of Luke. I'm joined today by my good friend Eric Wood, and we've been wading through the very first storyline in the book of Luke, talking about this good, godly couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth.
Yeah, just and the comments that were made yesterday about them being blameless in the sight of God and being, you know, righteous in the sight of God is an amazing statement. It speaks into their realness,
their character, and what's interesting is the Bible describes them in these glowing terms, and then the very next thing the Bible says about them, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both, and they both were now well stricken in years. So, you know, negative things happen to good people.
Yes.
So here are people that, for all intents and purposes, but they're honoring God, they're loving God, they're pleasing God, and God says that about them. They were righteous before God, and yet they had no child, which back in those days would have been an outward sign to others that something was wrong. You know, God is judging them in some way.
Another Job and friends, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine how long this valley must have been for them?
Well, they were old.
Right. So you're thinking almost a lifetime now of this heartache, of this thing that they really wanted.
And what we're going to learn later on in the story, Eric, is that they have been praying because the angel tells Zacharias, thy prayers have been heard. So they've been praying all these years, and it's like God's not been listening. Now, but he has been.
Right.
But it's ostensibly, it seems as if.
Thinking as if it's going nowhere.
Right.
It's hitting the ceiling.
And maybe that's you, my friend. You know, maybe there's a heart cry that you've had to the Lord for years. And it might seem that you're even at the place where there's no possible way at this point the prayer can even be answered. Because the Bible says they were well stricken in years, so they were beyond childbearing years. So there's no possible way at this point that our prayer can even be answered.
Even at this point, yeah. You see this story and it gives you so much hope if you're in that position. If you're in that position where you've been praying for maybe a lost loved one to be saved, or just maybe a physical ailment, and years you've been struggling with this thing, thinking that God's not hearing you, but the truth is the entire time he's been listening with an open ear.
And it's not always that God is going to honor our prayer in the way that we suggest.
Right.
You know, we know the story of Paul and my grace is sufficient. But the point is, a silent God is not an absent God.
Right.
And sometimes we feel because God is silent, then we assume that he's absent.
Right.
And that's not the case. God was there all the while, listening and working and behind the scenes. And it's just a marvelous story, isn't it?
Yeah. And sometimes when he's silent, that's even part of the answering. Because once you get on the latter end of the trial, you look back on that and you think, man, it's like I kind of maybe see God working or maybe not working. And you get to the latter end, you realize that maybe some of that silence was even to your benefit.
Yeah, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I do want to say one other thing about that, because this is something that we struggle with as believers, the apparent silence of the Lord. But Eric, have you found this to be true in your life? And that is that the deeper the relationship you have with another person, okay, so for instance, you and Sarah have a wonderful marriage and she's just a great gal. Have you noticed that as the marriage years stack on, there's more and more of an unspoken understanding of each other.
Right. And even an unspoken love for each other. You don't necessarily have to, not that I don't tell my wife that I love her.
No.
But it's like as if, even if there was an absence of me telling her that I loved her, she would understand through body language, through things that I do for her, through just us sitting together.
There's times when you're just sitting together, not speaking. Or you'll say something and she doesn't even answer, but there is an answer.
Right.
And we want to get to that place in our relationship with the Lord.
Right.
To say that just because he doesn't respond verbally in the moment, that somehow that means he doesn't love. So we find with Zechariah and Elizabeth that they're faithful to the Lord. They've not given up. Mm-hmm. They're not sitting on the sidelines in bitterness because God didn't answer their prayers.
Right.
And yet we know they had this heartache.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a little bit of a rabbit trail, but that was a good rabbit trail.
That was a good one, yeah.
So verse 7, they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. They both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course. In other words, this was his shift, time to work. Mm-hmm. So typically, priests would live all around the Jerusalem area. And then when your course was on duty, then you would come into town ahead of the Sabbath. You'd work that Sabbath day. You'd be there all week long, work the next Sabbath day. Hmm. So you'd pull two Sabbath days in your eight-day shift and then be in Jerusalem. And you'd do that a couple times a year. So the Bible says, so Zechariah, this priest, mm-hmm. he's come from his town, wherever that is.
Right.
He's coming to Jerusalem. And watch specifically what it says in verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So when the Bible says that his lot was to burn incense, that the lot was kind of a random way to determine an outcome. So the lot was cast, mm-hmm. and it so happened, mm-hmm. coincidentally,
right,
that was the day that Zechariah, in his course, among the dozens of other coworkers, maybe hundreds of other coworkers that are working with him, his lot was to be the one that offered incense on the altar of incense, which was the highest privilege for a regular priest.
Wow.
Now, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
But the altar of incense, along with the table of showbread and the golden candlestick, were the furniture in the holy place. Mm-hmm. So to be able to go into the holy place,
right,
and to offer incense on the altar of incense, this was a once-in-a-lifetime privilege for a priest.
Yeah, what an honor. Yeah, to be able to go into that place. Yeah.
Right. This is like, I mean, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is like the big thing.
Right. Right.
Which I find so interesting because it's a setup for a big announcement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God just has a sense of drama here in that he's going in and offering incense. And now while he would do that, the people would be outside praying. Mm-hmm. And we know that incense in the Bible is is symbolic of the prayers of the saints.
Right, going up. Yeah.
Matter of fact, there was an aperture, an opening in the top of the holy place where the smoke from the incense would go. And the people on the outside obviously wouldn't see behind the curtain.
Yeah.
So what they're waiting for is they're waiting for the smoke.
Yeah.
And when the smoke goes up, that's a symbol of God is hearing. He's accepting our prayers. This priest is mediating on our behalf.
Uh-huh.
So this is a special holy time.
Yeah. For him to have that heaviness on his heart still, even to this point, I bet you it was an exciting thing for him to see that smoke going up because in his heart, you know, heart of hearts, he wanted a child.
He really did.
Yeah.
So you wonder even at that very moment if in the offering of incense and the prayer that went along with it, you wonder in that very moment, is he still praying for a child?
Right.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe his faith is so emboldened by Bible stories that he knows, like Abraham or like Manoah, the father of Samson, or you know, other great Bible stories like Hannah, and the miraculous births that God has given people in Scripture. Maybe his faith is so strong in the Lord, he's still praying for that child.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. He's seen all these precedents already of God coming in the latter years, you know, of Isaac, you know, just seeing these things happen over these years and then coming back and saying, man, I hope, you know, I could just have that hope that it's going to happen to me. You
know? Well, we do know this. Paul told us that one of the prime reasons for the writing of the Old Testament was that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. So one of the reasons why the Old Testament has been preserved for us, according to the Word of God, is that we might persevere, is that we might receive encouragement.
Right.
So it could be that Zacharias here is just encouraged by a God that has done this before, and oh God, do it again.
Right, right. And it says like he was righteous before God and man. So it's not like he was bitter against God for not answering his prayer. He was still hopeful. Like he still had that hope inside of his heart that, man, I am going to get my prayer answered, whether it's in the way that I think or not. You know, it's all planned out in God's way, and I trust him.
Yeah, and we need to trust him. The Bible says in verse 10 that the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So while Zacharias is in the altar, at the altar offering the incense, the people are outside praying. And it says by the way, they've done this. They've done this week by week. So they know this. They know how it works. They know about how long, right, the routine. They know how long he's going to be in there. Uh-huh. They know about how long the prayer is going to last. And I say that to say that this is going to take longer than usual because something's going to happen here in a moment. And the Bible says in verse 11, there appeared unto Zacharias an angel of the Lord, a special messenger from God, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Well, I guess so.
Well,
I mean,
he was
can
in
you
there,
imagine?
He's in there by himself, or he
and
thought
this is
he
like
was.
Your highlight time, and you look up, and all of a sudden, there's this guy there. Because in the Bible, an angel, see, we picture an angel as, you know, a white clad woman with wings, you know, and a halo.
Right.
But that's not the Bible image of an angel.
No, not at all.
Matter of fact, the Bible says that sometimes we entertain angels unaware.
Right.
So in the Bible, an angel was undistinguishable from any other man. Uh-huh. Even though it was a special messenger from God. So for Zacharias, here he is, the most important job he's got in his life going on. This is his highlight.
Super Bowl, right.
I just don't want to blow it.
Yeah.
I hope this match works.
Right,
you
right.
know? And then he looks up and he sees this guy in the altar, which would be a ceremonial act of uncleanness.
Right.
And he is just, his mind is racing right now.
He's gone.
He is troubled.
Yeah.
You know, like, why does this always happen to me?
Yeah, right,
you know,
right, right.
One easy job, my lifetime big event, and wow, what's going on
it's
here?
It's gone now. I got this stranger with me, you know? Yeah, that's incredible.
So that's a great, I feel like I've been leaving you the last couple of days with these cliffhangers.
Yeah, hanging.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to leave you there for today, my friends, because we're out of time, but what happens? You know, you'll have to check us out tomorrow. The same right. bat time, the same bat channel, and let's see how God lovingly, sovereignly works in the life of Zacharias to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And my friends, that ought to be our attitude. Mm-hmm. God, work in my heart. Prepare my life for a service to Messiah. So we'll revisit this tomorrow. Appreciate you joining us today. Eric, again, thank you for joining us.
Honored.
And look forward to diving right back into the story next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.